Good afternoon. Here we are on a Tuesday, February the 5th, 2019, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and this is going to be a great hour because we have got a guest on the program today who has led a pretty amazing life. He is the host of the longest exercise series in the history of television. How about that? And still doing it and still exercising, he is known as Mr. Exercise, Paul Gardino. Paul, how are you?
I am doing great, and thank you, Scott. And I want to thank all of our friends there in Marion, Ohio, who followed me through the years. It really pays to stay in shape, I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
Thanks now, for having me on.
No, thank you for coming on. Now, Paul, when did the exercise program start?
1971, April 1971.
And how did that all come about?
Well, it's just one of those things. I used to watch Jack LaLanne way back in the early 50s and that. Always would like to do something like that, an exercise on TV. But, you know, I was a shoemaker at the time. I had no idea how it could possibly be possible, because no college education and anything like that, just a desire to do something. But it just worked and worked and worked, and eventually talked to the right people, and they gave me a chance to try TV.
Now, for people who haven't seen your show, what is a typical show like?
Well, they can actually see it right in Ohio yet. It's still on YouTube. All they have to do is put in Paul Gardino Exercise Program, the show, and it'll come up, and they can watch several of the shows that are still on.
Now, what is the thing you want people to get most out of your program?
What is the what? I didn't get that.
Well, what is the thing you would like people to take away most from your program?
Hopefully that I can motivate them to start doing something for themselves, because it's never too late. I've been through open heart surgery and made a nice comeback and still going at it. And not to give up hope and faith. And just every little thing you can do is a part of exercise. Don't even actually be going to a gym. You can be just doing things you do around the house. Just put a little bit more interest in it, and do it as an exercise, not just as a chore. That's helped me a lot.
You know, the new year is the time when people make resolutions, and the number one resolution every year is always to get in better shape and lose weight, and people always fail. Why do you think people fail at such a high rate with this?
Well, they expect too much too fast, especially if they haven't done anything for quite a while. So the idea is, remember, with a program like with exercise and for yourself, remember, you're number one. So no matter how many times you fail, pick up, dust your shoes off, and start all over again. And it's never too late. So every day can be a New Year's for you.
Now, what would you recommend somebody who was just starting out an exercise routine?
Well, of course, they should know better. If you're not sure of yourself and you're over 35 and been sick or ill, always check with your family doctor. He or she can tell you what you can do for your age and your lifestyle. And then just start gradually in a program, or else just start, go to a gym or someplace, and if you need somebody around you to motivate you, that helps a lot. And just get out and be more active.
You know, Paul, I was watching one of your shows last night on YouTube, and you were showing how you can exercise even if you're in a wheelchair.
Absolutely. That was a real popular program, and it still is, because they can watch it on YouTube, even in Ohio there. Because you never know an accident. You can be in the best of health and have an automobile accident. I've been in a couple of them, but lucky I didn't get hurt. I was confined to a wheelchair. But you can do it no matter where you are, what condition you're in. You just have to start gradually and always check with your doctor, and then not give up. Because if you give up, what is there to look forward to? Nothing. So you have to always have faith and never quit.
Now, Paul, I want to go back to the beginning here. What was your childhood like?
Well, it was boring because growing up in the 30s, I was born in 35, and well, we had no TV until we were, I was 14 years old, and it just was rough. And always wanted to do something, and wasn't motivated by many people and just had a hard time in school and all that other things like that. But you can't give up. You got to just keep striving. No matter what you are, what age you are, or what color you are, you can do it.
Now, what did you want to be when you were growing up? Was there a profession you wanted to go into?
That's so funny. I had no idea. In fact, I was embarrassed because everybody's going to college when I got out of high school in 53. And here I was. I didn't know where I was going. So it was really tough till I found out what was my niche, what did I like to do. So I just did one job to another job and just kept going until I decided exercise was a thing for me.
Now, also, a part of your life has to do with military. You send out towels, red, white, and blue towels. How did this all come about?
I'm having a hard time hearing you. It's so low.
Yeah, the red, white, and blue towels that you send, how did that come about?
Yes. Well, you know, I've been with the VA hospital for a long time, with the veterans, helping them to get raise money and stuff like that, and I kept thinking, gee, what can you come up with? You know, everybody has a bake sale, they have this, they have that. I thought, you know, there's nothing for veterans. They have everything for they have a towel for every team in history, a towel for everything with some kind of sayings on it. Says, why not a freedom towel? And I thought, well, surely somebody else comes up with that idea. But I found out nobody did. So I designed it and had it made by hand because, you know, you can't just go out and buy it. And then I worked and worked on it for a couple of years, got it going, and it helped to raise a lot of money, thousands of dollars for veterans. Plus, it makes them feel great that somebody thinks about them to actually have a towel thinking they're veterans, not just on Veterans Day, but all year round. And that's what we have to do, because without them, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now in America, because it wouldn't be available. So we have to realize our veterans are our backbone of the country. So take care of them and help them wherever you can.
Now, Paul, did you ever serve in the military?
Yes, I did. I served in Germany for 2 years. That's right after the Korean War. I didn't see any action, but I was ready for it. But I served, and I was proud to be an American.
What do you think you learned from your time in the military?
Well, first of all, I was able to travel a little bit and see things because when I was growing up, I was 18 before the furthest I ever went was Erie, Pennsylvania, and that was 100 miles from Butler. And, you know, I thought that was great, but I learned discipline. I learned you can do things, and I learned to enjoy exercise. And in fact, I started, they had me giving drills to the troops when I was in the Army. So it was actually part of my life of exercise and helping people get in shape and staying in shape.
For people who are thinking about enlisting in the Army, what advice would you give to them?
Well, it's a great thing. You know, life is just like anything else. It's all what you make of it. If you think negative of everything, but I've learned that no matter where I go, what I do, who I talk to, I always learn something from whoever I'm talking to. So if you go out with an open mind that you want to learn, you want to improve yourself, it's amazing what you can do and what you'll get out of it. There's no such thing as a bad day if you look for the good stuff.
Now, Paul, in your mid-80s, what is your daily exercise routine?
Well, believe it or not, I just started my New Year's resolution because I was down here in Florida now, almost 4 years, and I've gotten a little bit lazy, and I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, down here there's not many steps to go up to, because everything's on the first floor, and so I my legs were getting heavy, and I was getting tired all the time. I thought, I got to start doing something. So the first year, I started walking around the block where I live, and then I started doing a little bit of jogging, and I started going to the gym. So little by little, I'm going to start getting myself back in shape, even at 84, which will be in a couple weeks.
Now, what do you think caused you to have a lapse in time there where you were not so much in shape?
Well, I just think because I worked all my life, I didn't retire until I was 80, and it just felt so good doing nothing. I hate to say that, but then after a while, doing nothing wasn't fun, and I wasn't feeling great. So I decided, well, back to the drawing board and start moving that body.
Now, being in your mid-80s, a lot of people do find life a little depressing. How do you keep up and active?
Well, you know, there's always somebody worse off than you. I'm not saying that's a motivation part, but going to a hospital and stuff like that and visiting people that are really in bad shape. Of course, I had open heart surgery too, so I've been there, done that. So I just say that life is only what you put into it, and whatever your mind can conceive, your body can achieve. But you have to have faith in yourself and go around with people that want to get in shape and want to exercise and stay away from the deadbeats because they'll pull you down. Everybody says, why, you know, you're going to be 84 years old. You ought to quit. Hang it up. Why hang it up? When you feel good doing something, why would you want to quit? And that's what I said to Dunn, just quit there for a while. But I'm back at it again, and hopefully I can make a comeback.
That's good to hear. Now, what does your diet consist of?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I just eat about just everything. You know, the Italians like to eat a lot of food, and food is good. And so I just eat. I try to always have a breakfast, lunch, try not to eat in between meals. But it's just about everything, but I don't eat a whole lot of junk food. And the main thing is I go dancing a couple of days a week. That helps me to stay in shape, and then I exercise and just stay motivated by helping others.
Now, what are the best things to eat? If you had to recommend a diet to somebody to help them lose weight, what would it be?
Well, the old thing is eat less and exercise more. So there's no such thing as a diet. If you eat less, it goes in the opening and on your face, we won't gain any weight. If we exercise, that'll take care of the rest of the body and the mind and the spirit. Keep your spirits up, because exercise, that's what it does. Kind of gives me a high.
What percentage of the day should you spend exercising? An hour a day, 15 minutes, 2 hours?
Well, it's all on the individual, what shape they're in, but I try to get about anywhere from half an hour to maybe do an hour. I mean, now I'm doing that anyway, and try to be more active. I go dancing a couple of days a week, and not just slow dancing. Now I like to swing and do the jitterbug and all that other stuff. It kind of keeps you alive, and you meet a lot of people. So that's the main thing. It isn't how many hours you put in, it's the quality you put in. And try to exercise at the same time of the day, Scott, and also maybe at least 3 days a week. Not every day, not 7 days a week, because every other day, if you take a rest, your body will recuperate. It'll improve and build up energy. But if you do it every day, you can just wear yourself out. That's what I did with my heart, the doctor said. I apologize, you wore yourself out. That's why you need a new valve in your heart. But you took care of it, and then back to the grind again.
Now, you talked a little bit about your heart surgery. Can you tell us what happened? When did you notice that maybe something was wrong? Take us through that.
Well, what happened, as I was doing my shows, I kept getting tired. You know, I do 5 shows in a row is what I always did all my life. You know, the 44 years I've been on TV. And I couldn't understand why I'm getting tired. Here I checked with the doctor, and he says, you've got a floppy valve. It means your valve is not opening the whole ways. It's not closed the whole ways. So that's why you're getting less oxygen in your body, in your muscles. So that was the beginning there. Then I looked into it, and he says, yep, you need a heart valve. So I got a pig's valve. So my name's, I got a cow's valve, not a pig. So my name is Senegaldino, it's Caldino. So if I move once in a while, you know what happened.
Now, what was going through the surgery like? A lot of people go through that now and are kind of fearful. What was it like for you?
Well, you know, I really was depressed and a little bit worried, but I prayed a lot, and I thought positive a lot. I said, well, you know, I hope that they can go through my veins and stuff, but they couldn't do that, so they had to actually cut me right in the center of the body. And I thought, oh, boy, this is the end of me, you know, cutting 22 inches from the top of the chest down to my stomach, and they cut it open to, you know, to change the valves and everything like that. But after I did it, believe it or not, I videotaped the recovery myself. I just had the camera on myself and talked every day. I had a hard time getting out of bed, hard time climbing steps and doing different things. And some days I said, I'm depressed, and I don't know why. I'm feeling better. But it helped me tremendously to see the improvements. So when you see improvements, it makes a big difference in your attitude and your motivation, and that's what keeps you going. So that's what kept me going, just seeing the little bit of improvement. It was slow starting out, but it really worked out good, and I'm enjoying life down here in Florida very much, especially doing nothing, and I'm busy doing nothing, too. No, I am. I try to keep busy. But that was part of the motivation.
Now, when you woke up from the surgery, what is that like after that huge surgery like that?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. When you can't even turn over or move, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is the end, you know. So it was really depressing me for a while, but within about 7-8 days, I was ready to go home. So it's just a matter of working your mind. Now, like I said, your mind controls your body. As you think, so shall you be. So if you think you can improve yourself, you will. And if you see yourself doing it, you're going to do it. So you just have to think continuously positive and not worry about what your age is and what this is, what it is. Everybody's different. So you have to go according to your own age and your own lifestyle and your enthusiasm and your the thing is enjoying life. We want the most out of life. And I tell people I like to live till I die, which means I dropped over tomorrow. Well, you know, I lived 84 years, so I can't complain. So that's the main thing is enjoy life to the best you can.
Absolutely. As you continue to age, what has the aging process been like for you?
Well, the thing is, exercise slows down the aging process, right? And this is what we have to realize. Just because you're over 40 or over 50 or over 60 doesn't mean everything stops. It slows down, but you have to actually push the extra mile. I watch a lot of people on TV who make comebacks that they've lost both legs and they can do this, they can do that. They did all kinds of things, and with all the handicaps they have, they still came out successful. So that's what motivates me. It isn't over till it's over. And you just got to look for people who have success and went through a lot of hardships and problems and that made it out of that. That's the people you want to hang around with or talk to or just check them out on TV or on a DVD or something like that. It'll motivate yourself. It'll motivate you. It really will help.
What's the most, being on television for that long of a period of time, what's the most inspiring story you heard from somebody who watched you?
Well, you know, there's just so many stories. I can't believe it. I mean, I was always surprised how many men watched my show because usually exercise and women are always eager to exercise. But I realized I have quite a man's audience because they're always looking for somebody that maybe the same age or older than, but they're getting results. I don't mind that's my landline ringing there. Anyway.
Call from
agent
0531. 3335.
All right, just
0004.
Hold on. Okay. All right, you there?
You're still here.
I lost my thought there. Yeah.
Well, the inspiring stories from the people who.
Well, it's the people that they almost gave up, and they saw the show. Not that it was me, but that I said like you can do it. And it made a difference in just the way you tell people, don't give up, you can do it. Don't worry about it, you can do it. Just a little pep talk, a nice word of confidence from anybody, mother, father, brother, sister, aunt, and uncle, or just a stranger, it can't get these people going. I said, even a short walk to go out and get your own meal. That's not very far to go, but you didn't do it before. So now you're doing it. Husband said, boy, my wife was so lazy, now she's doing everything, and she's enjoying life, and I'm not. So I'm going to start exercising, too. Must be something into this. It works.
Absolutely. What part does family play into having a good mental attitude?
Well, I'll tell you, without my family, it would have been really hard to keep on going. They really encouraged me through the years. As most people know, I have 5 children. Now they're from 40 to 57, so they're getting up in the years. So they were with me the whole time because, you know, starting out late in life, I was 35 when I went on first start television. And it was hard for me. It was really hard because I didn't think I could do it. But just being encouraged by my family and from strangers made a big difference, even like people like you. give me a pat in the back and say, you know, it's good that you just didn't quit. Because a lot of people say, well, I exercised for 40 years, it's time to quit. I did this for 50 years, it's time to quit. And they find out they're going downhill. And they're embarrassed to say, well, I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way I feel. I'm going to change that. And they made the change themselves. Because nobody can change you but you.
When you first started in television in the 70s, what was it like doing your first show?
Oh, my goodness. My legs were just shaking like crazy because I couldn't even get in front of people in high school. I mean, I was such an introvert that I just thought, I can't do this. But it took me 10 years to realize, hey, I'm on television now. Relax. So it was very, very difficult because on television, you think you're just standing there and everybody's seeing you and you can't see your audience. So that was hard enough to see my audience. If I see who's out there, it's not hard to exercise. But not knowing who's out there, and they might be laughing their heads off at me, but you've got to just keep on going. It was tough.
When you planned a show, how did you come up with what you were going to do that day?
Well, you know, the people said, well, what are you going to do next week? I said, when I run out of people, then I won't know what to do. But I always watch all different programs everywhere and gone to hospitals and different places just to see what people can do. And I realized they have to do small things, not big things. If we start out slow that we can do something, we can handle it, we'll stick with it. But if it's too difficult, which you see a lot of programs today, they don't tell you when to breathe, how to breathe. They don't tell you almost when to quit. And people get disgusted and they say, well, that's for young people. I can't do that anymore. The thing is, you can do something. So no matter how small it is, don't give up.
Being on the air for 40 years, what do you think made the show so popular? I say, for being on for over 40 years, what do you think made the show popular?
Well, you know, I think just common sense and just plain talk, you know, not trying to say you're better than anybody else and just kept encouraging people to do it. And it's so, when I talk to the audience like I'm talking to you, you're right here beside me. And it makes me feel good that maybe I can get you motivated to start doing a regular routine. I don't know if you do a routine or not yourself, but do you do a routine?
About 3 years ago, I started every day walking a mile.
Yeah.
And I do that every day, and it usually takes about a half hour to do, and I try to stay away from sugar and flour.
Well, that's great. That's great. But again, I wouldn't do it every day. Because your body has to recuperate, it has to rebuild itself. So the only time it gets rebuilds is when you're resting. So, I mean, try to take a day or two off, but not saying don't do nothing, but do something completely different. Because eventually you can wear things down. And that's what I was doing. I know during Lent a few times as a Catholic, I gave up. I started running every day for 40 days. And I'll tell you, after those 40 days, I didn't feel good because I was worn out. So you need that rest in between. So rest is part of health and fitness.
You know, you talked a little bit about depression there, and I notice a lot of people's problems seem to be they don't want to leave the house, they want to stay in bed. When they get a day off, they don't want to do anything. What advice would you give to those people?
Well, if you go out and try to help other people, obligate yourself to helping others, your family or just your friends in the church or volunteer, you'll get out of the house. Because the more you stay in the house, the more you get downhill. But the thing is, you can still exercise in your home. That's why I did the show. I wanted it to be a homespun program, nothing fancy. Just things you can do, just getting up in the morning, say, well, I'll do these few stretches here. I wonder if I can still touch my toes. And little things like that. But we overlook that. We think it has to be a big gym, a health club, or something in that order. It doesn't have to be. It's just movement. Life is movement, and exercise is chores. Washing dishes, scrubbing the floor, painting, cleaning the house, cleaning out the garage, washing the car, wash your own car, you know, things like that. That'll motivate you.
How much of this do you think comes down to your genetics?
Well, I don't know, because I wasn't that motivated as a child in the exercises. I wasn't around anybody it's just one of those things. I wanted to build myself up. I felt insecure. I felt I just couldn't compete. And that kind of got me off my backside and trying to go in the gym, go in the YMCA, and started out there just little as I could. And eventually I built up and got to the point people were asking me questions about exercise and about how do you do this, how do you do that, or how do you feel. So it's just it's a slow process, but you have to be around people that can motivate you. Just get out there and mingle with people, and you'll get results. And especially if you're a senior citizen, you say, "Well, geez, all my friends are passing away. I don't know anybody." Well, you have to constantly make new friends. You have to have young friends around. Now, it's difficult down here where I'm in Florida because I'm with a lot of 75, 80, 90-year-old people, but they're in good shape because they want to live, and that's important. Try to be with the living, and you'll be surprised. It catches up to you, and it makes you motivated, and you'll start doing yourself, working out.
Now, how did you get the nickname Mr. Exercise?
Well, it's so funny. You know, my name's Caldino. A lot of people can't pronounce, especially kids. And when I started out, they couldn't say my name. They'd say, "Mommy, that's the exercise, man." I'd be walking downtown Butler, just in the street, you know, I'm no star or nothing. And then this one little kid was pulling his mother's skirt and says, "Mom, that's the exercise, man. How do you know?" "I can tell by his voice." So I thought, well, you know, the kids, there's the garbage man, we got the candy man, why not the exercise man? So I thought, well, everybody knows the exercise man, and you can't forget, you don't have to worry about a name. Just said, "Who was that?" "That was the exercise man." So it caught on, and I kind of like it. And I guess I'm pretty well known all around the world since I went to a couple Guinness World Records. So it's known as the exercise man. If you just Google in your iPhone, my whole history will come up. So people say, "Well, don't give out your phone. You know, people can know where you live." All they have to do is put Paul Godino, exercise man, and you'll have my whole history. What I did all through life. Pictures and videos and all that stuff. A lot of it's free.
Now what was... yeah, absolutely. Now, tell us... Now, why are you in the Guinness Book of World Records? Tell us how that all happened.
Well, you know, Jack O'Lane was on, I think, 33 years. So I was getting close to that. I remember to tell my one son, "You know, if I keep going, I can maybe beat Jack O'Lane's record, you know." He said, what did you do?" I said, "Well, I've been on for, like, 30 years. This is... You have." So, you know, sometimes the kids just can't say, your dad can't do anything or whatever, that you can't compete. So I thought, I'd just keep on working on it, and I decided, well, you know, the reason I got the Guinness World Record, it's the longest running family fitness show in the world. That means I've been on 44 consecutive years. I don't have somebody else's family. All the kids are on my show, which if you Google it, you'll see them, that they were with me the whole my whole life history on TV for 44 years. So that's where I got it. Not only the longest show, but the longest running show consecutively, every month, and I never stopped.
Now, at the end of 44 years, why did the program come to an end?
Well, they went going into digital and stuff like that. All this stuff coming out of my own pocket. I was buying cameras and equipment and this stuff and that stuff, and it was just draining me. And I thought, I just can't keep up with this anymore. So I decided that was it, because every couple of years is a new format, and it was too costly for me. And I was getting tired. You know, 80 years old. When are you supposed to stop? I didn't want them to carry me off the set. So I thought I'd try to walk off the set and enjoy a little bit of life. That's what I'm doing right now here in Florida, St. Petersburg.
Now, what was your last program like?
Wait, down here?
Yeah, the last time you did a television program, what was the last program like doing it, knowing it was coming to an end?
Well, it was happy and sad, because people said, "You can't quit." Even now down here in Florida, I'm getting emails from people, "Why don't you start your show again? Why don't you start your show again?" So I'm not going to start my show again because I'll be 84 and 18 of this month. But I'm going to start doing something on the air or on Facebook or something like that, just to keep going, because I like helping people. And but you have to take time for yourself, too. I mean, after all, I lost my wife with cancer, and my kids are all grown and gone. So it's time to, you know, enjoy the smell of the roses and enjoy life a little bit, travel a little bit. So I've been doing that.
You know, it's interesting. As we all age, no matter how we age, we all will face people who leave, spouses sometimes, people who have been our friends. How do you get through loss?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
How do you deal with the losses in life of spouses and friends and things like that?
As I said earlier, I said, we have to constantly make new friends, young friends, because otherwise when they keep, you keep losing your friends and you're not replenishing it with anybody new by not talking to them, trying to stay in your own age group, what happens, you end up not knowing many people. You get depressed and you just say, well, I might as well die too. I don't have any friends anymore. So you always constantly have to get out there and mingle with people. Mingle with young people, you'll never get old.
What impact did your parents have on your life?
Well, not too much, because they were pretty sedentary. My dad died at 54. He was like 250 pounds and ate a lot and was heavy and smoked heavy and so forth. My mother died at 65. So there was no motivation. I'm the youngest of nine children. So, you know, I got all the hand-me-downs, all the patches and all the stuff that nobody wanted. So that's what I wore. So it wasn't very exciting. So later on in life, that's why I'm enjoying life now, making up for it.
What do you think about that childhood sent you in the direction that you eventually landed in? Was it because of the parents dying young and the...
That's part of it, because, I mean, all my brothers died young. Nobody made it older than 60, 61. I had five sisters, there's only one left there. But the idea they died young, of course, you know, when I was growing up, 65 was old. So, you know, if you made it to 65, boy, that's pretty good. So that motivated me. I said, geez, I don't want to die 65, because right now, a person 65 today doesn't feel like 65. I don't feel like I'm going to be 84 years old. I feel like about 60. So it makes a difference. Not being happy where you are and making the change, because as I said before, only you can make that change. If your parents died young, then you better start doing something for yourself. Even if you die young, you at least live till you die. So that's important.
How big a part has your faith, you talked about being Catholic, played in your life?
Well, I'll tell you, without faith, I don't think I could take a step, because it was a big, big part of my life, because I only pray then, I still pray today, just for better health and that I can keep on going. So it was a very, very, very important part. Have faith in God and know that somebody there will help you, no matter if everybody else lets you, puts you down. But if you have a good faith in any religion, your God, you'll make it. You won't have any problem.
When you look back at your life, what would you consider to be the best time you ever had?
I think every day's a good time for me. There wasn't any, I mean, certain years were harder than the others, but I just enjoy every day.
Was there ever a period that was a low period?
Well, when I did a pilot once for national television, and it didn't make it, and I was pretty down there. I thought, oh, this is it, you know. I'm not going to make it, and what would I do, and so forth. I don't have a whole lot of talents. And that was kind of my down period there. And other people told me, they says, look, you had your show. Keep it going. People like it. People do it. Why would you want to quit? So actually, the help of people all around me, all my fans, even in Ohio there, which I was there with a lot of people, they keep me going even today. They're just saying a nice word, you know, don't quit, keep it up, you can do it. And the main thing is just tell people, you can do it, and that'll keep you going no matter what your age is.
Doing a television series for 44 years, that's a long, long run. Was it ever, did you feel you were better at the end than at the beginning?
Well, I would say after about 25 years, I was feeling comfortable. It was just a long time. But it just took me so long to realize, geez, I'm on television. you know, people tune in every day and they follow me and do what I'm doing and they're getting results. That was good. And after, but then I wonder what the outcome was. How do I quit? Do I just fall over on the set or retire or what? I didn't have enough money to retire, so I just kept on going to the point that it was too costly for me. And I thought, well, it's time to smell the roses, and I decided to take a chance. But it was hard because I left Butler at 80 years old and started a whole new life down here in Florida, not knowing anybody. I had a couple of kids living here. I have Debbie in the east side and John here in the west side. So it helped a lot. But it was still hard not having any friends and just starting from scratch again after you can be in town and everybody knows you no matter where you go. All of a sudden, nobody knows you. So it was tough. But again, you have to have faith in yourself and pick up the chips and move on.
Absolutely. What has been the best part of retirement for you?
Well, you know, I was going to get a little part-time job. But my son said, you got to get a job, Dad. You got to get a job. But just enjoying myself, doing things what I want to do, if I want to do them, and, you know, just having your own life in your own hands. You don't have to punch a clock anymore. That was so good. And not have to worry across on television, Scott, as you know, they're always 6 months ahead. So we never enjoy the now. So here's the chance of me enjoying the now. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may never come. I'm enjoying the now right now. I live the best I can every day.
Do you have any goals set for yourself that you still want to achieve?
Yes. I like to do more traveling, and I'd like to make it to about 85 or 90 if I could. My uncle made it to 90, a couple of grandfathers and so forth, but then my regular family that didn't make it very old. And I just enjoy life, and I just love space, and I love traveling, and I just love being alive and seeing all the new things happening in the world, from horse buggy to space, you know, seeing Mars and the moon and all that stuff. It's been exciting.
What's been the most interesting place you've ever traveled to?
I think Italy is going back where my parents came from and visiting all my family. That was very, very interesting because it was a gold mine, I went there when I was in the Army. I had the opportunity to travel to Italy and visit my cousins, first cousins, and to be able to go back and visit them again. That was a big highlight for me because seeing where my mother lived and see her house and my dad's family and so forth like that. I mean, the relatives, their family's not there anymore. But that was a highlight of my life.
You know, it's very interesting because one of the reasons people, I think, don't exercise today is because we've become a very technology-oriented world. From somebody who started out with early cars, men walked on the moon, telephones, cell phones, what do you think we've changed for the better or the worse?
Well, it's up to the individual. There's good can come out of everything, all the electronics and stuff and things that make life easier for us, but then there's always the backside, which means we've gotten lazy, we do a lot of sitting, we have a cell phone, every child has a cell phone in their hand, our neck is bothering us, our back is burning, we watch too much TV, and we're not moving our body, we're not moving our legs. But people should realize, even watching TV, that's the beauty of radio, let me tell you that, because they can be listening to you and me and traveling here, going there, working out, and all this other stuff. But with electronic stuff, you're pretty much anchored down. You don't want to get caught into that. Allow yourself at least 3 days a week to get your body some exercise for at least an hour, and you'll be okay. Electronic stuff is good for us, but it's got to be done in moderation. If you do it in moderation, you'll live the life of Riley.
What if you were going to go out and you were just starting to exercise and you wanted to buy a piece of exercise equipment, what are some of the best items to get?
Well, I'm crazy about equipment all the time. I think the biggest product is getting off our backside, moving our body, just starting to walk around the block, walk to the church, walk to the store, take the kids for a walk, take the dog for a walk. That's the beginning because until you move your body, no machine's going to do anything for you. Machines are there, they'll help you, but you have to motivate yourself first. That's the biggest machine I would get, motivating your body and just telling yourself, starting today, not tomorrow, not next week, I'm going to start doing something. You might go out tonight after supper, after about a half an hour, and walk for 10, 15 minutes, or a couple poles or a couple streets. Do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow, next week, until it passes over you. Do it now while you're alive.
Can you get too into exercise? Can that become an addiction and an obsession?
Yes, it does. I think so. I mean, I'm not a health nut. I enjoy life. I dance. Other things I do, I enjoy exercising too, but I enjoy traveling and just all the things in life. And you don't want it to the point that that's all you can talk about is fitness. I talk about world affairs and people and just everything. So you don't want to be caught just in one subject. You not learn as much as you can. Use your brain as a sponge. And the more you learn, the more you'll earn, and the more you'll enjoy life.
Now, with the last few minutes we have left here, Paul, when you go out and have dinner with your friends or go dancing, what are the conversations like at this point? What are you guys talking about?
Well, it always ends up in fitness because, you know, without health, if you can't go dancing, you can't go anywhere. It kind of always ends up like that. They said, what did you do for a living, especially down here? They don't know me. And then they're always surprised because they're always surprised at my age. And they go, geez, you're going to be 84 years old and you're out there dancing and everything else. I have a father, and he's 60, and he only went well and get the mail. Tell his wife, go get the mail. So that's, I think, the big thing there.
Now, when you have a friend like that, have you ever been able to convince him to get more active?
You know, I try to, but I think just setting the example, that's what I did with my kids. I didn't have to tell them, you should exercise. It's good for you. People know what's good for them. They know when they see you're happy, you have a smile on your face, and you have a lot of energy. That's what they want. Everybody wants energy, just like they want money. But energy is something you can't buy. You can't borrow. You can't steal. But you can develop it every day by just moving that body step by step.
What do you consider, you've lived a good long life, what do you consider the secret to happiness to be?
Well, don't expect too much. I mean, what is enough for you? A lot of people, I noticed down here, they have to have so much money, then they end up with cancer or this or that, all these other problems, and they're not enjoying the now. We have to learn to enjoy today. Today is where we're living. You and I are living this right moment, almost 2 o'clock, and this is the decisions we make in the next 10 minutes. Tell us where we're going to go the next year, next week, or next month or year. So enjoy the now. Forget yesterday. It's gone. And tomorrow's going to be a brighter day if you enjoy the now and do something for yourself.
Do you have any regrets in life?
No, I don't. I mean, I wish that things would have been different things. I wish my wife was around and she was able to enjoy the golden years with me, but it didn't happen. But that's life. You have to move on. And the same thing, if I would have went first, which I think everybody thought I was going to die first, because I had heart problems for many, many years, and she ended up passing away, you know. So, and I told her, well, if something happens to me and I'm young, just take off, just enjoy life. So we have to start enjoying our life, and our kids have to learn to enjoy, to grow up and do their own, what they have to do to make a living and to go on. Help them if they need help. Only when they need it. They have to struggle just like you and I did.
Paul, before I let you go, I do want to ask you this, because a lot of people, when you're married a long time, somebody goes first. How did you get through that? Or is it still with you, the loss of your spouse?
Well, the thing is, she was she had brain cancer, and she was never sick in her life. So we had 51 years of marriage. That's how long I was married, 5 children. 3 boys and 2 girls, and it was tough. When you're with somebody that's going through a slow death, you feel it. I was so enthusiastic. I was still doing my TV shows, but then when I went home, I was just paralyzed. There were so many things in my mind I wanted to do, but I just couldn't do it. So it's just a matter of, you know, being faithful and believing in the God and help, and people will help you. so they know what you're going through. But you have to keep trying. The next day, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. But it wasn't. It's not easy, but you can get out of it. Everybody can.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a pleasure. Paul Gardino, Mr. Exercise, in the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest continuous family exercise program. It's been a lot of fun, Paul. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and all the friends there from Ohio. And have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, that was a lot of fun, and we're done for the day. Don't forget Voice of the People with Linda Sims coming up at 4:10 today, and The Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker at 5:10. Two great programs. Don't tune away, and we've got more right around the corner here at WWGH Radio. Don't switch that dial. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Type 2 diabetes.
Oh,
but the issue that I said